This is All Sides Weekend. Chefs in the City celebrating local chefs and the innovative cuisine of Central Ohio. Good morning. I'm Marilyn Smith. Joining me this morning, reviewers Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover, who are all writing reviews for our blog. And unfortunately, our announced guest is not here this morning, so we're kind of punting. We're going to just open the phones, let that people call. We were going to talk about drinks. They do seem to have kind of risen to a new high here. The people are making handcrafted, what's called handcrafted cocktails, and people are bottling things on site.
Making their own mixes?
Absolutely. Yeah. But these drinks are also very pricey, in some cases the same price as an entree.
I think a lot of it has to do regarding the relatively high price is that with the cost of food rising so much as it has over the last few years, restaurants are really looking to new avenues to try and, you know, create margins. And by doing it with alcohol, you generally can. The margins are so much more significant. And the more you fancy up the drinks, the more they're able to charge. So I think that has a good bit to do with it. Also, it's just, you know, people's tastes keep increasing and getting better. And so I think, you know, bartenders want to compete with the kitchen in a way.
Well, some of these drinks are fairly complicated and time-consuming to make. Are customers being understanding of that it might take 10, 15 minutes to concoct something?
Well, they're treating them as artisan cocktails, heirloom cocktails. They're making a big deal of it. And some, I mean, Mouton really, I think, started the trend
with classic cocktails
a while ago. And you have Curio as part of Near Harvest that does famous cocktails. And I think it becomes a destination because I also think that young people in particular, but people are drinking more cocktails and less beer and wine. I think the sales would reflect that.
But if you're paying $12 or $15, are you going to buy two?
No. At least cheap old me will not. We went to Curio. That's a good point, Steve. Roberta and I went to Curio, and as you both know, we're all three of you know, we're Rob Roy fans. So Roberta ordered her favorite drink, and it took a while, but the bartender came over and explained it all and explained the contents, and he came up with this exotic vermouth, which my wife went out and hunted for a while after that and eventually found it. It is an artisan drink, you're right.
And for those who don't know, Curio is at 4th Street and Livingston in German Village. It's an offshoot of Harvest Pizzeria. The owners, I think, just in a desire to kind of create a new concept and to use the space right next door, draw people to Harvest as well, which is a terrific pizza restaurant, opened it up probably almost a year ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And really neat place. I mean, it looks like you've walked back into 1895. And each of the drinks on the menu are, you know, you can tell they really took a lot of time creating the stuff. I mean, each drink has at least 6 or 7 different ingredients in it.
Yeah.
It's really, really neat place if you haven't had a chance to check it out.
I hope they carry that on to the Sycamore, which they're going to open pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Same family.
So how many bartenders are on duty?
When I was there, there were 3, and it's not a large place. They have a few tables for, you know, 4 to 6 tops, and then about 8 bar stools. But still, 3 bartenders, that tells you about, you know, it's like having a kitchen behind your bar, essentially.
And how much are the drinks?
Anywhere from $9 to $14, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah, they are not cheap, but they certainly are strong. You don't. My wife and I went in there for a cocktail after pizza at Harvest, and you don't need more than one of them. At least I don't.
292-8513 if you'd like to weigh in on these new artisan drinks or restaurants in the area. Give us a call, 292-8513. We're talking with Rich Terapak, Steve Stover, and Rich Terapak. We have the Medusas this morning.
The other place that's doing some of their own crafting is Sidebar on Main. They've got, they make their own Angostura bitters. They also follow recipes that predate Prohibition. They have a one single large cube in each of the drinks with ice. It's a big square cube that they make themselves. So there's a lot of effort going into some of these issues.
What about Manifesto?
Oh, yeah. Manifesto, good cocktails. They do have, I think the last time we were in there, the bartender had mixed up some drinks, and apparently the persons who ordered them had taken off for the theater or something. So he gave us these two terrific drinks that, and then explained the 6 or 8 ingredients in them. A lot of these drinks are, you know, they're for perhaps the less experienced palate in the sense that they're sweet. And that's another reason either you drink them very fast or you drink them very slow.
I think in ways it's an attempt to introduce these, scotch and bourbon to a younger generation that grew up on, or I shouldn't say grew up on, but through their 20s drank vodka and, apple teenies and things like that. And it's kind of a way that I think they're trying to introduce new liquors to a younger generation.
Good point, because I think everybody in their 20s drinks vodka now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you mentioned ice. Apparently, if it's in a large block, it melts less quickly.
Right.
As
so
opposed
it doesn't
to crush.
Dilute. Yeah, it doesn't dilute the drink.
I was in the Cookware Sorcerer this week, and they have these little, they're like marble. They're like little cubes of marble. And you put them in the freezer, and if you're drinking a very expensive scotch or something like that, you put one or two of these in there. It keeps the drink cold, but it doesn't dilute it at all. So if you're paying for high-end Hendrick's gin, then you don't waste a sip.
And if these drinks are important to you, if you have a favorite bar or restaurant that serves these high-end artisan drinks, give us a call, 292-8513. Would you go out of your way to a restaurant that had maybe exotic, one-of-a-kind drinks as opposed to the usual places?
I'd revisit Curio, as a nightcap kind of thing. After the theater, if you didn't want to go home yet, you wanted to have a nightcap, I'd go there for. And by the way, if you walk in at 10 o'clock, you're shoulder to shoulder. It's a very busy place. Yeah, very busy.
And they've got Harvest's food, right?
Yeah.
So
they do have a little. I described the seating. They do have a patio out front. Doubt it'll be open, more than another month or so, but that does add a little bit of seating, same as it does at Harvest.
I was thinking of the Kahiki with the little umbrellas in the drink for those of us who've been around in Columbus for a long time. Did you get an umbrella?
Well, you can still find those at Grass Skirt Tiki.
Yeah, I'm sure.
My wife and I went there about 2 weeks ago. I had a real good meal and enjoyed a couple of their libations.
What were the drinks like?
I can't remember right now. It's, one of those... I think Cindy had a Mai Tai. I had kind of the one with the most things in it. It actually says limit one per customer. I didn't think it was that strong, but it was real good. Fruit punchy kind of drinks, in the Polynesian style.
Did you have a Spam slider?
I did, and I've had that before. I really enjoyed it. It's Spam with Swiss cheese and a little Chinese mustard. This time they put a little too much Chinese mustard on it. It was a little too spicy, and I'm a fan of it. But I've had it before, and I've really enjoyed it. They're really good. They have many small plates there. Their pork egg rolls are real good as well.
And they're reasonable.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a type of place you can go and order, four or five different things and still get out for, $50.
Another Liz Lessner place, right?
Yep.
And apparently she's opening a restaurant on the west side in the Franklinton area.
Yeah. Yes, they're opening a new Dirty Franks out there. Many of you know it from the 4th Street location. It's been wildly successful for them, and they're... And in an effort to kind of bring back the Franklinton neighborhood, they are opening a new place out there. I follow Liz on Facebook, and I unfortunately read this week they might be having a little trouble with their SBA financing because of the government shutdown. So write your congressman, tell him you want Dirty Franks on the west side open.
292-8513. We're talking with our restaurant reviewers today, Rich Terapak and his son Rich, both of whom, along with Steve Stover, our other reviewer today, have blogs up on our website, Chefs in the City. Speaking of that, Rich, you went to Wolf's Ridge Brewing on High Street, I believe.
Yeah, Dad and I both went. I wrote a review on it. On 4th Street. It's at 214 North 4th, kind of down towards the entrance to 670, kind of at the end of downtown in the Discovery District near CCAD and all that.
And we're seeing some development.
215 Northwest, excuse me. That's correct. Yeah. It just opened, I think, this past Monday. It's a brewery, but they, what I found and what Dad found as well was that the food was excellent. We started off with a great mussel dish, huge meaty mussels and kind of a tomato, onion, ale broth with onions, peppers, lemon, parsley. Absolutely terrific. Serve a little brioche from the Angry Baker, or not brioche, excuse me, crostini from the Angry Baker. Absolutely wonderful. And then I had an ahi tuna steak sandwich which was fantastic, one of the best I found in Columbus. And Dad?
I had a duck confit taco. I get them all the time. it was actually very good. The portions are very generous.
Yeah.
It's not inexpensive, and we usually don't go to a place that's only been open a week, but we thought we'd try.
And, you know, we even said when we sat down, you know, this place has only been here 5 days. We won't review it if it's not good, but it was fantastic. Really loved it. They start tonight, actually, serving their own beers. They have some beautiful beautiful brewery set up in the back. You can see it, you know, through windows. It's a real large place. But, yeah, go to WOSU.org/chefsinthecity, and you can check out the review on it.
And there's some beautiful pictures to accompany it. Mm-hmm. Pamela is joining us and wants to weigh in on drinks. Good morning.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Oh, good morning. I was calling. I have frequented a place. It's called Burns on 161. It's a new location, and we went there actually for dinner, and the steak was delicious. But rather than having a glass of wine, I selected to have one of their cocktails, and the cocktail was delicious. I just really believe that the new bartenders, because they're younger, they have a different palate. And it's just, oh, my God, it was just delicious. And because new bartenders or younger bartenders are willing to try new things with drinks, that's what made it pop rather than going with the traditional cocktail.
What did you order?
For our meal.
No, for your drink.
For the drink, it was Peach Ciroc, cranberry. She had mixed in, I can't remember the other thing that she had mixed in there. My goodness, you're putting me on the spot.
Probably a little vodka, maybe a little rum.
But it was just tasty. It was nothing, because I love Five Bar as well. Five Bar is very delicious. But just, I don't know, maybe if the younger generation are willing to try new things with their drinks, but the cocktail was just delicious.
Well, one of the other things is that sometimes when you're looking at wine by the glass, you can spend $12 pretty easily. So it may be more punch for the dollar.
What's it called and where is it?
The restaurant.
I heard Vern's.
And they have live entertainment. I like on Friday, so that's when we initially went for a meal and some live entertainment. But it was awesome. It's a new venue. The atmosphere is just beautiful. It was an old Olive Garden, and they transitioned that into a restaurant lounge.
Okay.
And it's just beautiful. So it was just a perfect night out. An accompaniment with a live band. And it's right off of, it's 161. So it's changing. The North End is coming back around again on that side of town. It's coming back around. So I'm happy that a nice restaurant like that is a good platform for people to come visit and frequent.
Well, thanks so much for your call this morning, Pamela. 292-8513. We are talking about food and drinks. We are going to take a short break here, and we'll be back with your calls in just a moment. This is All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking with our food reviewers today, Rich Terapak and his son Rich, along with Steve Stover, all of whom are writing for our Chefs in the City blog. If you haven't visited it yet, this is a really good time. We've got a couple new
ones this week. I put up Flatiron, and they have a new menu, and it brings together the barbecue, the Creole, and the Cajun, plus some other goodies, including a great new burger with the Eleni Cristini bun and great hand-cut fries. So,
and I was inspired to go to their website after reading your blog, and their prices are really reasonable.
They are.
Reasonable.
It's just
amazing. Well, a lot of it, you know, they're offering it almost as bar food because it is a large bar and it has that kind of feel, and you can't sell –
Salmon Club with bacon and stuff like that. I was sort of blown away. I hadn't been there for a while. It's one of those hidden treasures that you got to remember. Crab cakes with ancho mayo. But it's downtown. It's got parking after 5 o'clock, which is really unusual. It's sort of toward the north end near the arena. Some nice beers and some decent wines.
And during the day, you can usually find a meter out front either. Mm-hmm.
That's actually in just around the corner from Wolf's Ridge. Downtown's really coming back as a dining destination. I mean, just 5 years ago, you could hardly find anything down there. I used to work down there, and man, I'm jealous now.
I saw an Elevator Brewing sign on North 4th. Is that where they make the beer? And is that close to Wolf's Ridge?
Right next door.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
292-8513, if you would like to weigh in on our conversation about food and drink this morning. And Greg is joining us from Clintonville. Good morning.
Hi, did you say Greg?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Is your name Greg?
That's me. Oh, my phone beeped out for a moment. I might have missed it because I tuned in a little bit late. I'm wondering if anybody talked yet about Mouton. I haven't been there, but I really want to try it.
Well, it has been mentioned, but not in depth.
It was originally found by a young fella, and they focused on, it's not much in the way of food, classic cocktails, not artisan cocktails, some very carefully selected wines, wonderful breads and cheeses and charcuterie. So it's a very limited menu. It's a tiny little place, and it's fun, and it's funky, and I haven't been there since it changed hands, but it was at the time.
Right across from North Star, isn't it?
Yeah, for a progressive night in the short north. You could go there we did that. We went there for cocktails.
Was that a pub crawl?
And a taste. Well, then we went to the...
what we called it, 1968.
where Rosendale's was.
Hubbard.
And had a great dinner there. So it's fun to do that. And try a couple
Hubbard
places.
Bought the place next door, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And... did they expand just tables?
Where details or? Used to be.
Yeah.
I think they're doing another concept there. I'm not sure.
Well, you do have a question, though, don't you, Greg?
I do. My other question was, does anybody have a favorite place they like to go for a Bloody Mary or a place they think makes an especially good Bloody Mary? Thank you very much.
Thank you. This is like kicking off the hamburger controversy. Bloody Marys do vary from place to place, and people have their favorites, by sure.
Boy, we've got friends who make very good Bloody Marys, so I usually just drink theirs. And I like them fairly spicy with chili beans in them and that kind of thing. I think you'd probably be better off going to someplace around probably the campus area to find a good Bloody Mary.
I can only say I make them at home, just did this last weekend, and my best tip for Bloody Marys is a mix made by Tabasco Company. I think it's fantastic. I discovered it actually up at Put-in Bay at a bar up there, and it was one of the best Bloody Marys I'd had. A sports bar up there, I can't remember the name, but yeah, Tabasco mix is fantastic.
Rich drinking in a bar.
The Roundhouse, probably.
I think so.
Yeah. The ingredients, a little horseradish. Sometimes I rudely give instructions to the bartender on how I want it prepared. So.
And what do you tell them?
Again, Tabasco,
horseradish, lime,
Old Bay,
and these peppered beans, green beans that have been pickled, that kind of thing. If they've got those on,
and an olive,
and for a vegetable, a piece of celery.
292-8513. If you'd like to weigh in on the conversation this morning, we are talking about food, restaurants, and drinks. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking with our restaurant reviewers, Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover, all of whom are writing blogs on our website, Chefs in the City. Tom is joining us from Columbus. Good morning.
Columbus.
Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to add something to the conversation, maybe a smile. In my experience, however good the drink is, it's better if the bartender serving, it's got some style and some humor. I mean, that's part of the process for me. So I was in a bar in Florida, and the girl said, "Hey, how would you like to try so-and-so?" And I didn't even know what that was. I said, "How much is it?" She said, "Well, it's this much or this much plus five with the floor, if you want the floor show." and I said,
"You're right, I'll have a smile.
I'll take the one with the floor show." And what reminded me of this was you guys making the comment about the umbrellas.
Yeah.
So she pulled out an umbrella, turned her back to me, held it over her shoulder, and went boom, and opened it, and then turned around twirling it like she was a geisha. She said, "Now, when is the last time you had that floor show?" So it's just a smiler I thought I'd share.
A couple of years ago, they conducted, I think on a fairly regular basis, but I haven't heard of it lately, a bartender contest in town, the best bartender in Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's still going on or not. Maybe a listener can fill us in.
Yeah.
Let me tell you the bartender that would lose. Do any of you know what a stinger is?
I do.
Okay. Well, it happens to be one of those drinks. It's made with brandy and creme de menthe, and it's what fat old people drink. But young people ought to try it. But it's one of those drinks that, because the creme de menthe is very sweet and the Napoleon brandy is very harsh, they have to meet just right. So often you need to adjust a little bit. So in an unnamed place in Columbus, I warned the waitress. I said, now, you know, this drink sometimes needs adjusted, and I don't want you to think I'm difficult. And she brings it. I said, let me taste it first. And I said, this needs a little brandy. She goes away, and she comes back. Now, I'm a regular at this place. She goes away and comes back and says, the bartender said he made it perfectly.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I said, well, all right. I mean, perfect's a relative term. I just need... you know, like another spoonful of brandy. She went away and came back and said, if you want to buy more brandy, you have to buy a shot.
Oh, my goodness.
Give me a break.
Whoa, whoa.
Well, I lit up, and I pretended I was Steve Stover, so I got it. All right. You guys have a nice day.
Thanks for your call. 292-8513 if you'd like to weigh in on our conversation on food and drinks here in Columbus. John is calling us from Easton. Good morning, John. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, what's your question?
I was actually wanted to bring up that while beer consumption on the whole might be down, I have found myself gravitating towards more expensive local craft beer.
Oh, yeah.
I think many people have.
Absolutely.
I think you're no longer buying the cheap stuff by the pitcher at the varsity club, but you're having an IPA that might cost you $8.
And yeah. We certainly are seeing a proliferation of breweries around the city, any number of them cropping up around the Short North, for example.
Yeah, I've found myself also, I live in the suburbs, and I've been taking a lot of growlers home, like stopping at the Daily Growler or at a brewery to pick up beer that I can't find in bottles or cans so that I can drink draft beer at my house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and who started doing that was back in the 90s, Barley's started selling the jugs.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think they were kind of the first to do it, and now, you know, they're way ahead of the curve. Now it's a very popular way to drink, and I think an excellent way to drink because the beer is obviously a lot fresher. Just to mention, actually, one interesting tidbit regarding good beer, microbrew out of Colorado by the name of New Belgium Brewery in Fort Collins is about to enter the Ohio market finally with their signature beer, Fat Tire Amber Ale, come this December.
Big West Coast beer.
I used to live out in San Francisco. It's been in many other states for many years, but because of our archaic liquor laws in Ohio, they haven't desired to come here yet, but I think they realize the market's large enough, it's worth it. But everyone should look forward to this. Fat Tire is hands down one of the best beers out there. Last time I went to North Carolina, I drove home with a trunk full of it. So I just thought I'd put that out there. It'll
first
be coming to Columbus in December.
And this is going to be in what, grocery stores?
Yeah, it'll be in grocery stores. They're actually, it started as a microbrewery. I don't know if they could be classified that way now, just on sheer numbers. I think they're actually like the sixth or seventh largest brewer in the country now.
Really?
Because their product is so good.
Mm-hmm. And we are talking about food and wine this morning with our reviewers. I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking with Rich Terapek and his son, Rich, along with Steve Stover. We have a number of people waiting. Jim is one of them. Good morning. Jim?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to recommend a place in Dublin called Tutto Vino.
Sure.
And it started out as a wine store. Now they have a little bistro where they serve small plates, pizzas, calzones. They've got ahi tuna sliced and delicious salads and that. But they've opened a high-end cocktail bar, and they do a tremendous job there. They have 12 or 15 classic cocktails, plus a whole list of cocktails that the bartender came up with. They have an excellent scotch and whiskey supply, like 30 or 40 different brands. They just do a bang-up job with the cocktails.
Still the same room and the same owner?
Yes. Yeah, it's
I remember reviewing that about 10 years ago, I think.
It's in the plaza where Mary Kelly's was. Yeah, they just closed. And they're planning to expand into a larger space, not Mary Kelly's space, but a larger space in the same shopping center area there, and they're planning to expand soon. But they just do a bang-up job on the cocktails. They use they have a lot of homemade ingredients. They made their own chartreuse marshmallows for one drink, I recall, and it's a Tutto Vino. It's a great place.
Yeah, and I liked there. They had a very nice selection of wines when I was there, too.
Yes, excellent selection, and the chef there does a really good top-notch job. Yeah. It's real quality out there.
Thank you so much for your call. Of course, it might be a little difficult to get to this weekend with the President Cup golf tournament.
Hopefully they're very busy this weekend.
I'm sure they are.
You're stuck in Dublin. You might as well stop for a drink.
Moving quickly along.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. 2928513, and we have a number of people who are waiting to talk with our food reviewers this morning. Joan is joining us also from Dublin. Hello? Joan?
Joan from Delaware?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I just wanted to put a plug in for Veritas in Delaware, is that it combines a lot of what your listeners have been saying. They make some of their own syrup. They have these crafted cocktails as well as the old-fashioned ones. And it's sort of like a destination to be entertained.
And it's gotten some very good publicity.
Yeah. I mean, they
food-wise.
It's from the glassware to the presentation to the garnishes. And then, of course, they feature small plates. So even though the price of the cocktails is a little high, when you combine it with a couple of small plates, you're really going out for a pretty nice dinner.
We had wine, and it was a very good bargain. Several people, including yours truly, think it's the best new restaurant in the area. It's on a side street. The 1808 Bistro is right beside it, owned by the same guy, our old friend Ben Graham, who used to be, he was the opening chef at Burgundy Room, is up at 1808. Beautiful plates.
They're
very daring
marvelous.
Food, too.
Yeah, and marvelous job.
And there is a blog on Veritas on wsu.org/ Chefs in the City, which we did a couple months ago. So you might want to check that out, too.
Yes, I've read it, and that's what got me there for the first time.
Oh, good,
and
good.
It's where you bring all the friends who come in and think Delaware is still a pretty small town with nothing to offer.
We meet Mary's brother who lives in Delaware, or in Marion, there. Uh-huh. And it's a great, and there's a couple new restaurants popping up. There's going to be a new Thurman Cafe.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're opening in downtown Delaware.
And Thurman is also adding a location in Pataskala as well.
Yeah. So thank you for plugging
But they're having 5-ounce burgers.
Yeah. Shame on them.
Shame on them.
That's okay.
Thank you very much for your call this morning, Joan. 2928513 if you'd like to talk with our reviewers. We are talking about food and drink here on All Sides Weekend. Kelly is joining us. Everybody's labeled Dublin, so I hope that's where you're from.
Yes, I'm Kelly Columbus, and I'm calling to recommend Brother Drake's Meadery. It's on High and Fifth. It is, actually, one of their bartenders, Annie Williams, just won a mixed drink competition here in Columbus. And their drinks are, you know, it doesn't have to be sweet. One of them has jalapeno in it. Really good.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had drinks and besides mead.
Mead and beer.
Mm-hmm. And what exactly is mead? We've heard about the Drake's Brothers meadery for a year
sort
or so now.
It's a spiced wine, isn't it? A heavy-duty... I originally thought it was a beer product, but we were corrected a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a cordial-like, but stronger.
Yeah.
Fortified wine.
Yeah. And they also serve a handcrafted beer or two there also, depending on the day. So
It's at 5th and High, very close to where they make Middle West Spirits.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for your call this morning. We do have a number of distilleries and wineries along with these breweries that have been cropping up. A meadery is kind of unusual. I'm not sure if I know of any other meadery in the country. But these breweries, we've talked about Wolf's Ridge. We've also got Seventh Son, which is on 4th. Mm-hmm. And I think that...
Well, down in Lancaster, we've talked about Rock Mill a number of times. The property is located on a farm that has spring waters that replicate the Belgian water. So they decided to make beer down there.
Yeah, Rock Mill makes some incredible products. Yeah. They're sold mostly as, you know, individual 22-ounce bottles. They're on the high end price-wise, but they are so packed with flavor. They're just wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, are those just being sold in restaurants up here? Or
I believe they're at, I think they're in Giant Eagle now.
They're in Giant Eagle.
They're at the place at the North Market, the wine store at the North Market.
Most small shops, you can probably find them these days. If you get a chance to check from Rock Mill, I would certainly recommend
it. And then there's Watershed Distillery on Chesapeake, Buckeye Vodka, and, of course, we've already mentioned Middle West Spirits. So, burgeoning little... industry.
Yeah.
Beer, wine, and made in Columbus, and spirits.
A couple calls ago, somebody was mentioning the scotch at bars, and I'd be remiss in not saying that Deepwood has a heck of a scotch bar, single malts.
And wings. And Bexley.
Or a just Chinese Bexley. Restaurant with a great scotch bar.
Yeah, they might have the best scotch. Food's okay, but the scotch is really what they're known for.
Oh, yeah. They've been around for about 70 years.
And we've gotten a number of Facebook comments this morning. Heather has recommended St. James Tavern on 4th Street. There's a lot of stuff going on 4th.
It just, and I also think the brewery district.
That's kind of the Italian Village area, I believe, where St. James is.
Maybe the eastern edge of it.
Yeah.
She also recommends Dirty Franks for fun drinks and the Jury Room for classic concoctions.
That's another
Liz Lesner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We do have another comment from James. He doesn't do cocktails since he prefers beer, but has enjoyed some from the Hubbard Grill and Milestone 229. Milestone 229 is down there on the
Mile.
Yeah. And the only thing that always occurs to me whenever that comes up is, where do you park?
Yeah, they have valet, both at lunch and dinner.
And there's metered spots around there. However, there's so many housing units going in now. I think those are tough to get anymore. Yeah. It's a beautiful place. A lot of fun in the summer.
Good food.
It has gotten good reviews.
I've been there. The food was, good. More than anything, the views and the environment. It's all glass walls and just, right on the river. It's very nice for, neat, unique place for Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. Good place to take visitors.
We are going to take a short break here. We'll be back in just a moment on All Sides Weekend. This is All Sides Weekend, Chefs in the City. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking with Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover, who are all doing food reviews on our blog, Chefs in the City. We have been talking about food and drink with you this morning, 292-8513, if you'd like to join the conversation. Steve, you had a conversation with Rick Lopez of La Tavola just yesterday about a new location for him.
Well, this is really exciting. If you'll recall the old La Tavola up in Powell by the Powder Room, and then they moved to Fancy Digs on Riverside, and then they closed. And he and his wife, Krista, who's sort of his partner, opened Need in the Short North across from the convention center, and they're doing sort of a funky Southwestern menu. But the big news is, this fall, he plans to open La Tavola in Grandview across from the library on First Avenue, which I'm very excited about. He's doing the same casual trattoria that was so popular there. He's going to have a 60-seat restaurant plus a patio. He's the same made-from-scratch quality. He's making his own salumi and homemade pastas, risottos, and breads. And he's hoping to open this fall. They're awaiting beer and wine licenses and getting it on the ballot. And they're going to keep Need open. One of his proteges is going to keep Need open. So
So this is on First Avenue in Grandview?
Yeah.
Right across from the library. There used to be a little food store there. Mm-hmm. Mike Miley used to work there. And it's a nice little space. 60 is not bad. That was, no, you know, you want to have that kind of number. So, yeah. Yay.
Well, and people in Grandview tend to be very supportive of the restaurants that open over there. He should do well.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
A number of things opening up in the near future. Chez Du Bon downtown.
Mm-hmm. I just talked to them this week as well. It's still not clear what's going to happen. There's going to be a market. They're going to sell sandwiches and breads and pastries and some minor groceries like milk and wine. And then they're going to have a cafe. But I thought it was going to be a bistro fare. But
sort of high-end French.
The guy I talked to said it's going to be fine dining, sort of in the upper balcony. Yeah. And I thought it was going to be on Columbus Commons, but it's going to be at 21 East State by Manifesto. And they say they're opening on November 14th.
Mm-hmm. And I know they've hired a chef. He's coming into town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a little kind of boutique grocery store for people who live downtown.
Which is terrific because it's very hard.
Other than hills. Yeah.
It's wonderful.
But we do have a Lucky's coming to Columbus. This is
Clintonville, right?
That's my understanding. This is a Colorado-based food store that was opened by a pair of chefs. I think they may be married, husband and wife. They're offering organic, specialty, gluten-free selections, 2770 North High Street, just north of Arcadia. And apparently this is the first restaurant outside of, grocery store outside of Colorado.
Colorado, yeah.
I didn't realize this was the first one, but, you know, we are a great test market for food. I can't blame
them. Becoming a food capital.
Yeah.
Witness the Food Channel coming to town next week, right, Steve?
Oh, yeah. No, the show Eat Street, which is a Food Network show. I think it's on Cooking Channel here in the U.S. It's on Food Network in Canada. You know, we've become quite the food truck town over the last few years, and they are coming in to film some of our more popular food trucks, and they'll be in, I think, from the 5th through the 10th at several different places. Saturday, you can find that food truck at Seventh Sun Brewery on North 4th in the Short North, and then 2 p.m. Sunday, Paddy Wagon at Little Rock Bar, also in the Short North. Noon on Monday, Greeny Meanie food truck at Dinin' Hall, which is in Franklinton at 400 West Rich. And then Ajumama, which is one of my favorites, is going to be at 4 p.m. Tuesday at Zauber Brewing in Grandview on 5th Avenue.
Where's this list?
This list, I think, where did I find this? I think I found it on ColumbusCrave.com, actually.
Okay.
That or in the Dispatch.com. But Maybe we can post it on our website after this so that we make a good turnout and make Columbus look real good for the show.
Yeah,
I don't think the food trucks have any trouble turning people out.
No, it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
If you'd like to weigh into the conversation, 292-8513. Miles has been holding. Go ahead, Miles.
Hi, I just wanted to thank you guys so much for the show. This is the highlight of my week. I work as a sales representative for a craft beer distributor, so this kind of counts as market research listening.
That's a good one.
Keep it up.
Yeah. And you guys mentioned a ton of my favorite spots around town, but I didn't hear anybody bring up Curio when you were talking about cocktails earlier. And
he must have been.
We did. We talked about it for about five minutes.
Well, maybe you nodded off.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that I just moved to the city about 9 months ago from New York, and I love high-end cocktail bars, you know, Death & Company in New York, Little Branch, places like that, Violet Hour in Chicago. But I often feel alienated walking into these places. The service can be sort of gruff. And I found a Curio just every time I've walked in there, I get treated like a regular who's been there a million times, even if I've never seen the person before. I just think they do amazing things. The service is just par excellence.
Yeah, I'd second that. I think the service is. I talked about a guy explaining the contents and a special sweet vermouth, and it's very cordial. A couple other people, the bartenders, came over to talk about it as well. So it was our first time there.
So is that pun intended or not?
Very cordial.
Thanks very much for your call this morning. It's nice to have somebody move here from New York and see the benefits of living in Columbus. Oftentimes, that's not the case. We have Seth joining us and wants to weigh in on the Bloody Mary controversy.
Oh,
thank you.
Seth, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a couple suggestions. I also actually want to second the caller's recommendation of Brothers Drake Meadery as a great place to get mixed drinks. They have both Watershed and Middle West Spirits there, and they make some really good stuff. But as far as Bloody Marys go, they have a Sunday brunch with can't remember. I think it might be Leslie's Crêperie, but they make a great Bloody Mary there. That's my girlfriend's favorite Bloody Mary in town. And my dad's favorite is Baggio, which I think is also really good.
Oh, that's true.
Good call. Yeah. Good call.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your suggestions this morning, 292-8513. And we have Mike joining us. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Really quick, quick observation before I get to my question. It seems that people calling in are more so concerned about alcohol when we're talking about alcohol and food.
Well, we started off the conversation talking about alcohol.
It's one of our themes today.
Yeah. We had a bartender coming to talk with us, but he couldn't make it. So we picked up the slack, and it seems like we got a lot of calls about it.
That's okay. Now, my question is, if now I heard the caller talk about the Drake Meadery, but I'm more so interested if anybody knows where I can pick up some imported mead, because I was able to find some mead imported from Denmark, and that's at the Wine, Ale, and Spirits in Powell on the corner of Home Road and Sawmill Parkway, that's the only place I'm able to find mead. Like I said, it's Denmark. I'm wondering if anybody knows of a place, another location, preferably like, you know, a nightlife venue that actually serves it.
Oh, you mean it? Okay. I was going to suggest Anderson's and also asking Brothers Drake Meadery where they might you might find it. But I don't know who else serves mead in Columbus.
Never sought it out. I'm sorry.
No.
Have you personally ever had mead?
I don't think any of our reviewers have had mead. We got an email from Duncan who reminded us that it's fermented honey, occasionally mixed with flavoring and herbs. No wine, no grapes involved.
No grapes.
One of these days
I'll remember it.
It is wine made from honey. The Vikings drank it.
So. Well, it's kind of surprising that we have our own meadery right here in Columbus, don't you think?
It is a little bit intriguing, yes. My heritage goes back to Eric the Red, though. That's why I was wondering about getting it imported straight from Scandinavia. So.
Is there some benefit, not to your heritage, but to having it imported as opposed to domestic?
It's more so the whole thing of, you know, that's where we believe the origins of mead are from. So, you know, they would, at least in my opinion, they would know how to make it best. That's just my opinion.
It's the source.
No, that makes sense. I think the best pilsners come from the Czech Republic. So
that's... I don't know. I heard Vikings will drink anything.
Hey, now. The mead in question, really quick, and then I'll go ahead and let you guys go. The mead in question that I found is Dankst Maud. That's Dansk Mjod. And it is $35 a bottle, but it is very well worth it.
Well, good luck in your search.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for your
call. And the family knows what to get you for Christmas. So.
292-8513 if you'd like to weigh in on the conversation this morning. We are talking about food and drink. We've got about 10 minutes left. We're talking with our reviewers, Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover, who I've mentioned a number of times are all writing blogs, food reviews on our Chefs in the City website, WOSU.org. 292-8513, and Emily is joining us. I think that's you. Good morning, Emily.
Hi, good morning. I heard you guys mention Cafe Veritas in Delaware, which is really yummy, as well as 1808. But I also wanted to call your attention. So those two places are on the east end of Winter Street.
Yep.
And at the other end of Winter Street, West Winter Street, on the corner of Winter and Franklin, is a brewery that opened up. It's called Stauss Brewery.
Spell?
S-T-A-U-S-S.
Oh, like the coffee roasters in Grandview.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's S as in snake.
Oh, S. Stauss. Thank you very much. Appreciate the clarification.
But they don't serve any food, so they're strictly beer. And it's really, really good. They've got all, you know, they have IPAs, they have a Hefeweizen, they have all different kinds, and it's really good. And then another place, while you're in Delaware, on South Sandusky Street is a place called Vito's Wine Bar. And they not only have wine, but they have a bourbon bar, and they make some really, really delicious whiskey sours, Manhattans. They do old fashions and elder fashions, and everything they do is delicious.
And this is Vito, V-I-T-O?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All this is perilously close to Ohio Wesleyan, and are you from the Chamber of Commerce?
I am not. I'm kidding. I was born and raised in Delaware. I left for a while, but I've recently come back, and it's really, really awesome to see
these
new and exciting places popping up in Delaware, because it's grown so much, and it's an area that really benefits from high-quality food, I think.
Yep,
so.
You're right.
Thank you very much for your call this morning, and it certainly does sound like Delaware is becoming a food destination in and of itself.
Yes.
And Ross is joining us this morning. Good morning, Ross.
Hi. I just wanted to touch on a place that's down on 4th Street next to Dirty Frank's. It's Little Palace.
Yeah, that bar
is my favorite restaurant and bar in Columbus. Absolutely great food and great service as well.
And great prices. You can get those three little sliders for like $4 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the prices can't be beat. Yeah. That's a great destination.
Great area, unless we forget the El Camino. So all these are with side by side on South 4th.
Yeah.
Right along there where Dirty Frank's is, right?
Mm-hmm. All in a row.
And I think there's a new arcade bar down there as well that just went in where actually you can play vintage video games for free as long as you're buying drinks. I haven't been there yet, but some friends went the other night.
Same block?
I believe so. That's what I was told, yeah.
Hmm. I just drove by there and didn't see it.
We'll have to look out for it.
Where I live. It's very, very good. All four of those places right next to each other. It's a really good, fun place to go hang out, grab a couple drinks.
Absolutely.
Well, it's terrific because it gives a kind of a nice location for all the students that are down there, Franklin and CCAD and Columbus State, and it's people
who work downtown. It's not far off from there. And once they build that bridge over 70 between German Village and there, I think that whole area will just continue to grow.
Have you been to Arcade?
Not yet. I've seen the interior and everything, and they did a fantastic job. They took a while to finish it, but
well, that's your assignment.
Let us know next time.
On assignment for All Sides Weekend. Thanks so much for your call this morning. Seamus is also on the line. Good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, I'm over here in the hinterlands of Westerville. So, I've called in before. My usual complaint is that I'm a disgruntled customer from the metropolitan New York, Connecticut area. So I could find little or no representation of French wines, especially any of the classified Bordeaux's, which are 60 wines that virtually the two distributors in the state do not choose to carry them, and there are very few independent retailers with the courage to put them on the shelves at their price points. And there's very little representation of either red Burgundy or white Burgundy. So I'd be interested to know why this is such a blind spot for the wine trade, including supermarkets, in the city. So otherwise, we like Columbus. We think the diversity is growing. So if you have any comments as to how to improve the French wine selection. And by the way, French wines are the largest selling volume wines in the world. So there's just none out here.
Well, thank you so much for your call. Apparently, your first call, which was very memorable, did not move people to carrying the French wines that you're looking for. I don't know. There are a number of good wine places here in the city.
I'm a Rhone drinker, but I also like all French wines. And it is a very weak spot. We don't also have very many, if any, French restaurants. Obviously, Lantee, but they have more of a California, I think.
That's the reason we're looking forward to Chez Dubon.
Maybe he could reach out to the folks who are opening the Chez Dubon downtown at 21st State Street.
And Lantee.
But otherwise, I don't know that any of us who were on the panel that same time he asked the question.
And you're not going to find Bordeaux's and Burgundies in supermarkets, but obviously the nicer wine stores, including Twisted Vine and Anderson's has a very large selection. McLaren's, others. Those either have them or can get the kinds of things that you want because they are available. But you do have to look for them and shop a little bit. And thanks for the call.
And Jeff, we just have a couple of minutes left. Go ahead.
Yes. Are you guys listening to me?
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to quickly mention it's a place. It's called. It's on Indianola and Weber in Clintonville, and it's called either Savoir Grau or Savor Grau. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but they have 60 beers on tap that you can either get growlers or half growlers, or you can pay like 25 or 50 cents and sample all these 60 beers on tap. And then they have about 400 different bottled beers. And then the food trucks also go park in their parking lot. It's on Weber and Indianola. I just wanted to mention it.
That's great. And then I'll get the Crest and some other. Yeah.
It's a new place.
Okay.
So. Okay. Just in case you want to eat at home sometime. Just a shameless plug. Steve and I are doing a cooking class on the 10th at the Season Farmhouse on in Clintonville on High Street, and it's called Favorites for Entertaining, a Dinner for Company in 2 Hours.
And Michael Ruhlman's going to be there, too. He's probably going to stay around for our class,
don't you think?
Thank you all very much. We've been talking with Steve Stover, Rich Terapek, and his son, Rich. On All Sides Weekend, Chefs in the City. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1 Columbus, streaming on the web at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media. We will be back again next month to do this again. I'm Marilyn Smith. News from NPR is coming up.
And support for 89.7 comes from the law firm of Thompson Hine, delivering employee benefits solutions uniquely suited for your business. More information about Thompson Hine's employee benefits practice can be found online at thompsonhine.com.